desire to bring down the regime. It is the beginning of the final rebellion. In 18 countries, there have been national headline producing conflicts and rebellions. There is, I don't know how spiritually sensitive you are, but there is a swelling in the spirit world right now. Can you feel it? There's a swelling happening in the spirit world. The proverbial waters are beginning to rise and to swell like never before. It's happening across the globe. It's causing everything to tremble and shake at its foundation. Even in America, the land of the free, the home of the brave, there are movements like the Tea Party and the Wall Street movements that show the dissatisfaction with what human government and human endeavors and human manipulation can produce. Too much hope and change has been promised with too few results. And between the ages of 16 and 35, young men and women are rising up in unison, almost as though there was a cord attached from one end of the globe to the other. Almost as though there were some string attached across nationalities and ethnic barriers and continents. There is a collective rising that's happening in the world. Several months ago, God gave me a vision, and in that vision, it was on Tuesday night in prayer. In that vision, I could see an army. They were like Spanish soldiers. I could see the glistening of the moonlight upon the tops of their helmets. They were hunkered down in a great valley, and it was an innumerable host of men. And I could see the silhouette of a general. His face was hardened with battle scars and war. He had a thick beard, and he was looking toward a city that set right over. The valley came down and set right over the top of that, the edge of that valley. He was looking towards the city. The city was asleep. It was nighttime and early morning before the sun began to rise, and the city was asleep. The city didn't know it, didn't understand it, couldn't perceive it, didn't have the spiritual insight to know. But right over the hill and into a valley, there was an innumerable host of soldiers. And then the sun began to rise over that valley. I could see it coming up where that man was facing. And all of a sudden, he gave a nod. And you could hear the swell of an army rising. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me, and he said, "There is an army in this generation that is rising up. There is a people. There is a group of young people in pockets around the globe. You may not be able to see it with your natural eye. You may not have the privy to understand the time and the place, the location, but across the globe, an army is rising, and the enemy, he sits in the city and he thinks all is well and he thinks everything is business as usual. But God has been preparing a people. God has been equipping a people. There is a people who is dissatisfied with status quo, who is dissatisfied with mundane church, who is dissatisfied with just religion and not relationship. An army is rising. There is a consensus among those of this generation that nothing that is man-made can satisfy the hunger and the longing within us to be free from the oppression of this world. Does that relate with anybody under the sound of my voice tonight? You are dissatisfied with the status quo and with things that man has created, with the natural kingdoms that man has created, with just the houses that man can build and the cars that man can build. Are you dissatisfied? And I'm just going to pick up where I left off last week. This generation is over-medicated, trying to sleep at night because it is dissatisfied. I wonder, in most apostolic churches, how many people's mind and spirits are numb. I wonder how many people really feel the penetrating voice of God through the thick fog of medication to try to keep you happy because you're depressed. You're dissatisfied because you got the house you were looking for. You married the man you were looking for. You have the right number of zeros in your checking account. But you're dissatisfied. You got a nice house. You have a nice car. You have a picture perfect family. And you're depressed. You see, the problem is that you can walk into the doctor's office and tell him I can't handle my life and they'll give you a prescription. What is it? Is it high? Let me tell you something. We're living in a day when kids are taking medication for ADHD and they've got a Red Bull in their hand. Can somebody please reconcile that for me? I'm sorry, I'm not all that smart, but I don't have that figured out yet. I'm too low, now I'm too high, now I gotta get low, now I gotta get high. Is it true? They're stacking the Red Bulls up in the gas station. It's one of the most popular selling drinks. And what else is it? What is it? What are the other ones? What? Monster and all the other ones. And so we're artificially stimulated. And you wonder why you walk into the presence of God, you can't feel anything. You can't find peace. Because peace just knocked you upside the head, but you can't feel it. You see, the problem is medication isn't designed in most cases to fix the problem. It's designed to knock the edge off of the pain. But the pain is an indication that something is wrong. So you feel depressed. Because there's an internal conflict. There's an internal condition. You are dissatisfied with who you are. So instead of praying about it, you get a prescription. And then you can't feel it. So you think that makes you happy. When the real peace that you're looking for is in the presence of God. The real hope that you're looking for is in a red hot prayer room. Man, I've got to make some tracks. Even the music today is screamo. High intensity roaring from deep within that no longer sounds like a song. Indicative of a generation's desire for someone to hear them, to feel them, and to answer their cry for help. Am I right? You parents, have you heard it? Have you heard it? You can't even understand what they're saying. It's so intense now because we have a generation that's dissatisfied. It's like a roar or a scream. You see, time has revealed the irrefutable evidence that nothing that man can build will be able to satisfy the human soul. This image in Daniel chapter 2 is the embodiment of everything that man has built. He stands solidly, stoically, irreverent, and speechless against the cry of humanity. Take a look at him. Throughout the entirety of human existence, this is what your best represents. Look at him. Dustin, can you do me a favor? Can you Google Nebuchadnezzar's image and put it up on the screen for me? Just find a good, real, bad, imposing picture of that image. Look at me. This is the result of your collective efforts. What do you think of my beautiful golden head? Got lips, got eyes, got ears. But he can't see, he can't hear, he can't taste. What do you think? My torso of pure silver, my waist of brass, legs of stone, feet of stone and clay. This is the result of the most brilliant of all of mankind's attempts. This is the collective work of all of the kingdoms of the world. This is what all of the genius of the world has created. And Muslim and Buddhist and denominational Christians alike are rising up in these last days. And they're pointing an accusatory finger at that image. Is this all we've got? Is this all you could provide? Is this all you could do for me? Over 6,000 years of collective efforts. Keep working on it. Every kingdom, every empire, every age, are you impressed? And as we approach, that's the one I studied over. Look at him. Isn't he special? This is their collective effort. The Babylonian Empire and all of its greatness. All you got is a golden head. Look at it, Media Persia. All of your conquering, all of your activity, all of your endeavors. That's all it is to God. And that's all it is to people. Because all of the money that's been amassed can't buy one cent of happiness. All of the grand cathedrals cannot buy one night of rest. So they're rising up, young people across the world. They're rioting in the streets. They've been promised so many things, over-promising and under-delivering. And as we approach the end of time, there's a collective outcry from the huddled masses of people who say, is this the best that we can do? And collectively, this generation is screaming, crying, searching, desperate for something more than what Paul called some dumb idol. Isaiah said in chapter 28 and verse 16, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation. A stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Jesus asked Peter, whom do men say that I am? Peter said, some say you're Elias, and some say you're that prophet. But Jesus asked the question, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus told him, blessed are you, Peter, because flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Thou art Peter. Peter, you're the little stone. And upon this rock, what rock? The revelation of who he is. The revelation of the mighty God in Christ. The revelation of the understanding that all of the kingdoms of this world and all of the images of this world cannot compare to the glory of Jesus. God manifest in the flesh, and God come down to earth, and God come to see about his people. Somebody clap your hands. Give him praise. Thou art Peter. You're the little stone. Say, I'm the little stone. And upon this rock I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said, Peter, you're the little rock. But I'm the big rock. Peter, you're the little stone. But I'm the big stone, and I'm going to build my church upon the revelation of who I am. I'm not the little rock, Peter. You're the little rock. I'm the big rock. I'm not a chip off the old block. I'm the whole block. And there's coming a day when I'm going to take this stone and I'm going to strike everything that the world's created, every natural kingdom, every natural imp. Every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that he is God. I know you're still trying to figure out where I'm going, but I'm getting there. He said, I'm building my church upon myself. The knowledge of who I am. And hell cannot stop it, Peter. And I'm going to let generations of apostolics walk up and smite the image. One of these kids asked me one night in an altar service. I mean, we had just had just crazy church. And one of them walked up to me and he said, what are we doing? What is this all about? What does it mean? I said, there used to be a wall in the middle of East and West Germany called the Berlin Wall. And for generations, those young men, after school and after college, went home and got their pickaxe and their hammer and their dead blow. And they smote the wall. And they kept smiting the wall, knowing that one blow wasn't going to do anything. All of our forefathers walked up to that image and struck it time and time again. But one day, Brother Terrell, one day the decree came from the top. One day, the day came. And they came out with the bulldozers. And the wall fell down. So what we've done up to this point is we have, in our collective efforts, we've gotten out our pickaxe and our hammer and our dead blow. Service after service, moment after moment, prayer meeting after prayer meeting. And people look at us and they say, why do you scream so much? Why do you get so excited? Why do you run around the church? Why do you dance? Why do you shout? All right. It's because I understand something. There's coming a day, and it's not that far away, when Gabriel's going to put that trumpet to his lips and he's going to blow, and hurling from God's intercontinental missile is going to be a stone, and you're that stone, and I'm that stone, and the church is that stone, and that image. Is going to come crashing down. that stone that was plucked out of the mountain without hands is going to strike the image. And every kingdom, every religion is coming down. Every false prophet is coming down because of a God rebellion. What are you rebelling against tonight? What is it that you are coming up against? All of God's great men were rebels. They rebelled against mother and father and country and kindred. They rebelled against the status quo. They rebelled against mediocrity. They rebelled against their culture. I feel that the Holy Ghost has given me a mandate for this generation. Now, what you do with it individually is your business. But the Holy Ghost has given me a mandate for this generation. It's time for a God rebellion. It's time for a rebellion. I'm telling you what is happening in the overarching plan of God right now in the Holy Ghost. Across the globe, in places you cannot see with your natural eye, there are young men who are crying out like you are. Across the globe, Zach, in Europe, in Asia, in Africa, there are men like you praying like you're praying. Right now. Right now, across the globe, there are people being stirred in their spirit like never before. There are people who are dissatisfied by what they've known up to this point. Their heart is crying out. And God is calling this generation to start a God rebellion. Like Moses, who refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, who forsook his comfort, his plush retirement, a healthy living, a salary, pleasantries, entertainment. He forsook it to start a rebellion. He forsook it to be misunderstood. He forsook everything that he had been raised to think in Pharaoh's house to start a rebellion. And because he did so, he went up to that image and he struck it. No, it's not going to fall yet, is it? But this is the part I have to play. This is the destiny that God has placed upon me. But he did it, listen to me, he did it with the hope and with the understanding that one day there would be a Brother Terrell who still had a pickaxe, who still had a maul, who was standing at the wall. I'm sorry, only in an apostolic church can the week before you preach a message about building the wall, and the next week you preach one about tearing it down. It just struck me. If you're literal in the house, I lost you. Like, do we build it or do we tear it down? You know what I'm saying, Brother Warren? But he did so. He started a God rebellion, and it cost him something. God is calling this generation. God has been equipping this generation behind the scenes where nobody can see it. KJ, what you've been feeling in your spirit has been God's equipping. And God is looking at us now. And he is saying, there's a collective rising. There is a collective swelling. What you will not understand, mom and dad, that you will understand on the other side is why we're pushing your children so much. Brother Larry, what may not seem clear right now, but I promise will seem clear on the other side, is why we're pushing them to cry out. Is why we're pushing for worship harder than we've ever pushed. Is why we're pushing for prayer and intercession more so than we've ever pushed. Because the time is now. The time is now. The time is now for a collective rising, for a universal swelling of the church of the living God. Jesus was a rebel. Jesus resisted his mother, his father, his country. There was a purpose on his life. There was a destiny upon him that forced him into an arena as a man that he had to completely die to self. He embodied what I'm talking about. He endured the cross, despising the shame for the joy that was set before him. And in so doing, he walked up to the image as a man and smote the image. And hell had a party because he died. And hell made a mockery of him because the image still stood. And even the disciples asked the question, will you at this time restore the kingdom? But all he was doing was setting it up. All he was doing was making his blow. All he was doing was making his impact in faith that one day there would be a Justin who collectively rose with the masses. The collective swelling for end time revival. That would be willing to endure persecution, hardship, difficulty, adversity. Justin, that would leave mother, father, country, to fulfill the call of God. Endure the cross, despising the shame. I don't think I'm going to go any farther tonight. God just sent me. I had 3 sermons prepared. And when God gives me this stuff, I put it on the shelf. And when he tells me to preach it, I preach it. And then I walk away from it. However it resonates in you, in your spirit, it's between you and God. Lindsay, if you would come. Or Tiffany, somebody. God is calling this generation. There is a collective swelling in the spirit. God is calling young men to forsake. And I'm not telling you to run out to the mission field. I'm talking about getting into a prayer room and praying until your identity is established. I'm talking about getting into a prayer room and fasting until you hear from God. I'm talking about getting into a place of prayer till you walk away and you know what the will and the purpose and the destiny of God is for your life. I'm talking about getting into a prayer closet until you get an answer from God. I'm talking about pressing your way in to intercession until something breaks in your life and until God reveals himself to you, until he shows you what his destiny and purpose is for your life. Talking about enduring the cross, despising the shame. We are up against affluence in this generation. And it's so severe. And it's so pervasive. We've got to be cool and we've got to fit in and we've got to be accepted. But if you're going to be a person who embodies the calling of God, if you're going to be someone who walks in your destiny, if you're going to be somebody who walks in your high places with God, you're going to have to carry a cross. One of the problems with the American church is they don't understand that godliness with contentment is what great gain is. Brother Warren, there are a lot of apostolic churches tonight that are counting people and they're saying we're successful or we're not successful by how many people sit on our pew. Some plant, some water, but we're not even supposed to be concerned with increase. We're just supposed to plant and we're just supposed to water. But so many people are concerned with looking successful, having the right number of garages and driving the nicest car and having the house that people can look at and say, okay, now you're successful. Read Hebrews chapter 11. They hid in dens and caves. They were despised and rejected. They were abandoned and alone. Bible says of Jesus in the Old Testament prophetic discussion of the crucifixion that he was stripped so bare on the cross that he considered himself no man, humiliated, ridiculed, rejected, but willing to embrace it, to smite that image, because that image glimmers and it glitters and it looks enticing. And that image is luring your babies. And after it's done with him, it's going to dispose of him and discard him. God's calling this generation to rise up. God's calling this generation. You might be all by yourself. You might be completely alone in this fight. But it's worth it. It's worth it. Because there's coming a day when you're going to rear back with that hammer. There was a young man by the name of David. He stepped out onto the battlefield and everybody was alone and scared and everybody was intimidated. He said, is there not a cause? And he had practiced with that sling, no doubt. But this time there was something else behind the endeavor. There was some other unseen force behind the activity. There's coming a day when we're going to rear back to strike that image. Primarily the feet that are iron mixed with clay, that represent the Roman Catholic Church and the Trinitarian form of baptism, and that represent the greatest deception in our world. And it will be the revelation, the one thing that this generation has in its arsenal that has the power is what Jesus told Peter. Upon this rock, I'll build the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The revelation of the mighty God in Christ. The revelation and the message that there's only one Lord. There's only one faith. There's only one baptism. There's only one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. The one thing that defines us as a success is that message. We've got to get it out to the world. We've got to smite that image one more time. We've got to get it out into every school. We've got to get the message out. Young people, you've got to open up your mouth. It is time for this generation to speak. I'm telling you, it's time for this generation to speak. It's time for you. You've been developed. You've been equipped by God. It's time for you to open. Does anybody believe that? Does anybody believe that? Does anybody believe that? Let's all across the sanctuary lift our hands and begin to worship God for just a moment. Just talk to Him for just a second. Are open if you want to come and pray. If you want to come and commit your life to Him, these altars are open. Jesus. If you feel the Holy Ghost tugging on you tonight, come on, is there a rebel in this house? Somebody who's willing to rebel against the status quo? Come on, is there a rebel inside of you that wants to instigate a God rebellion in your world? In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Young people, please. I would like for some elders to come and pray for some young people. Come on, we need a move of God in this generation. God, inspire in this place, Jesus. God, awaken somebody's heart, God.